Let's get into the details now. Gold Board CEO Sammy Jinfi has challenged Minority Leader Alexander Fenyomakin to produce the IMF report he referenced, which claims implicates Gold Board in the losses incurred by the Bank of Ghana under the domestic gold purchase program. At the Government Accountability Series, Sammy Jinfi challenged Fenyomakin to point to the specific page, paragraph, sentence or phrase in the IMF report where Gold Board is identified as the entity responsible for the losses. He argued that the IMF report speaks of losses incurred by the Bank of Ghana through the domestic gold purchase program and does not specifically state that Gold Board caused those losses.
Their position has now conveniently changed from the old false narrative that the Gold Board made losses to the new false narrative, which is that the Gold Board is responsible for losses incurred by the Bank of Ghana under the domestic gold purchase program. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing could be further from the truth. First, nowhere in the under-referenced IMF report is Gold Board accused by the IMF as having caused the losses reported to have been incurred by the Bank of Ghana under the domestic gold purchase program. I challenge Fenyomakin to point to any page, paragraph, sentence, phrase, or punctuation mark in the said reference reports of the IMF where the Gold Board was accused by the IMF as the entity responsible for losses incurred by the Bank of Ghana. In summary, ladies and gentlemen, what the IMF report states is that Bank of Ghana incurred losses through the sale of gold under its domestic gold purchase program of $400 million in the year 2024 and $1.7 billion in the year 2025. And that the 2025 loss of $1.7 billion was as a result of, I'm quoting the IMF verbatim, the scaling up of the domestic gold purchase program, not incompetence or mismanagement. According to the IMF, that loss was as a result of the scaling up, the expansion of the program. The IMF also stated that these accounting losses partly reflect valuation effects, in particularizing what the IMF considers to be components of this loss. The IMF listed three things, which included fees paid to the Gold Board under the domestic gold purchase program. This is the true context within which the name of the Gold Board featured relative to losses under the DGPP in that reference IMF reports. So I want to read the relevant portions of that report, because most of the times they come in the media and they say the IMF has said that Gold Board has made a loss of $1.7 billion. And nobody questions them to point out which part of the IMF report said that. They say that the IMF says that Gold Board is a reason for the loss. And nobody questions them to provide the proof. And we are all talking about IMF report, IMF report. The fact checkers must get to work.
Well, let's get more details from Parliament Presidential Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba, who joins us on Zoom. Maxwell, what more has he been saying? Maxwell, unmute and speak to us.
Hello, I'm here. Can you hear?
Loud and clear.
Yes. So the Gold Board CEO did not mince words during the briefing, at some points describing the claims by the minority as noise, ridiculous, and lacking logic. The CEO, Sammy Jinfi, says he's waiting with bated breath for an invitation to appear before Parliament's Public Accounts Committee to respond to the concerns raised over Gold Board. Now, he said he has heard Minority Leader Alexander Afenyomakin suggest that the majority could use its numbers to block such an invitation. Now, Sammy Jinfi said he has, however, reached out to the majority leader and asked him to invite him before the committee to address the issues publicly. Now, he also addressed the second issue raised by the minority, which he described as the minority's second argument, that Gold Board was paid fees as a buying agent under the domestic gold purchase program in 2025 and was therefore responsible for the losses reported under the program. Now, he said the claim that an entity could be paid fees while another entity absorbs the losses stinks, in his words. And in his view, it reflects a misunderstanding of the fees involved. Now, he explained that the fees in question comprise an asset fee of 0.258% and a service fee of 0.5%. According to him, the fees paid to Gold Board, which the minority has linked to the Bank of Ghana losses, account for less than 1% of the 17% loss reported by the IMF on the relevant gold transactions, Mamisi.
Thank you very much, Maxwell. And Maxwell Akbar, Vice Presidential Affairs Correspondent. Well, this afternoon, the Minister of Roads and Highways Governance, Kwame Agbaja, has tasked Maripoma Enterprise Limited to speed up work on the Tema Motorway and complete the project within schedule. The project is a major road linking, connecting the Tema port to other parts of the country and is expected to ease congestion and reduce long travelling time commuters endure on the stretch. The Minister has urged the contractor to, among other measures, consider working 24 hours to effectively expedite the project both day and night. And speaking during the inspection assessment of some of the big push projects in the Greater Accra region, the minister said all the progress on the project had improved by 10%. He expects that more work is done.
It appears you have done about 10% extra work since we were here the last time. And the main bridge, not far from where we are standing, has also been completed without any incidents. Yeah. My fear actually has always been the risk to the public, because it's an intersection that is in use 24/7. And you actually completed it ahead of schedule and without any incident of the public. So I commend you for that. I also noticed an increase in activity on site. There's more activity on site. However, I want to encourage you to even increase that further. A project like this elsewhere will be done 24/7. There's no reason why you cannot work even more in the night than the day. So I'm encouraging you to take advantage of the president's 24-hour economy to do more of the disruptive works in the night, and rather scale down during the day and make certain or dedicated lanes available for the public to use during the day. So
let's go to to Zoom and speak to my colleague Fatao Bayaga, who is with the minister. Fatao, he's also been talking about paying some 23 billion cedis to road contractors. Tell us more.
And so basically, the minister said that some 23 billion Ghana cedis have been injected so far into paying these contractors. And he said a large portion of that money was used in clearing dead old contractors previously. And one very important thing that he spoke about was that given the huge funds that the government has committed so far in constructing roads in the country,
you also spoke to the owner of Maripoma Enterprise Limited, Alhaji Ali Seydu. What did he say? Fatao, do I still have you on the line? Unfortunately, we lost Fatao Bayaga there, but let's listen to the minister.
Government is committed, as I said earlier. Government has paid over 23 billion so far on roads, and the bulk of that is arrears. Because if you notice, your project, the one at Ofanko, we inherited. But when we inherited it, there was an outstanding debt of 78 million, which we paid. That is classified either as big push or arrears. So the 23 billion is a lot of money to be paid to road contractors. It's the largest payment to on capital expenditure from government.
The ground. We believe in planning. We don't work to impress people. You understand? So go to the various project sites. You will see the result of planning and how we have been able to achieve very much in this short period. The famous Bole project, I urge you to go there and see what is happening now. And then you can report to the public and then you will see what is going on.
I must say that on all the sites that I've checked, the pace of work has increased beyond what it was the last time.
Exactly.
And that is happening across the spectrum of our road projects.
Yeah.
Indeed, the rains impeded progress on many of the sites, especially those doing earthworks. But since the rains have subsided a bit, you will see that many of the contractors are picking up. And we are hopeful that we can complete this project on schedule, including the Maripoma project. The one you are talking about, Winchi to Sola, it's a very extensive project in terms of length and other things.
Yeah.
But work is going on. As we promised, we are going to be with the contractors till we take over this project. We are never going to leave the site. Today we are here, tomorrow we are going to be here to make sure that we deliver this project on time for the people of our country. So we are very grateful and we count on you to be able to deliver.
Roads Minister Kwame Govan Sagbaja interacting with owner of Maripoma Enterprise Limited, Alhaji Ali Seydu. Moving on, the application by convicted NPP Ashanti Regional Chairman Bernard Entry Bosiako, Chairman Wontumi, to be released from jail while he pursues his appeal, has suffered a major setback. His application was not heard at all and he's been adjourned to the middle of October. Kweku Asante was in court for us. Kweku, tell us how the court went.
Well, so the judge was expected to be in her chair for Chairman Wontumi and their lawyers to make that application. But today in court, the lawyers were not there. Obviously, the judge was also not there. Information we have is that the judge is unwell and has not been able to sit, for which reason proceedings has now been adjourned to the middle of October, specifically 15th October, for Chairman Wontumi and his lawyers to move this application that, if succeeds, will see Chairman Wontumi get out of jail pending the full determination of the appeal process that is going through the court right now.
Right. And was Chairman Wontumi in court?
No, Chairman Wontumi was not in court. The prison service did not bring Chairman Wontumi. We do not know the reason why that did not happen. His lawyer, Samuel Atancia, was also not in court. But the Deputy Attorney General, Justice Shremsai, was in court. In fact, we were all seated in court for about 30 minutes before the court clerks came to inform the lawyers that the proceedings was not going to happen. So Chairman Wontumi was not in court. Samuel Atancia, his lawyer, was also not in court. And proceedings will now be in the middle of October before Chairman Wontumi will know whether he gets out of jail pending that appeal.
All right. Kweku Asante is a member of the Legal Affairs Desk. Moving on, government has paid 10.82 billion CDs to bondholders under the Domestic Debt Exchange Program. The Ministry of Finance says the payment was made in full and on schedule. It brings the total amount paid to bondholders since 2025 to 41.36 billion Ghana cedis. The ministry said this is the third DDEP coupon payment to be made entirely in cash. According to the ministry, the timely payment reflects government's fiscal discipline and commitment to meeting its debt obligations. And we have Dr. Ananiyanji on the line to speak to us. Doc, we're grateful for joining us this afternoon. Can you confirm the receipt of the monies the finance ministry claims has paid? Still trying to get Dr. Anani Entry on this. We understand that government has paid 10.82 billion to bondholders under the domestic debt exchange program. Dr. Anani, thankful for joining us on the midday news. Can you confirm the receipt of the monies paid by the finance ministry?
Well, it's not a confirmation as such because the money is going to all the bondholders. So each bondholder's account will be credited at his bank. So it's not a question that somebody has given money to a person and say, I've confirmed a receipt. The bank will be crediting the bondholders' individuals' accounts. So individuals will know that they have been. But normally when the amount is released, within a matter of days, 2, maximum 3 days, everybody's account would have been credited.
All right. And following this 10.82 billion, how much is left to be paid by government?
Well, everything is to be paid by government. That's the interest, the coupons on the bonds, the half-yearly coupons.
Right, we're grateful for your time, and Dr. Anani Entry is convener for the Pension Bondholders Forum. Now, some herbal medicine sellers are openly flouting the Public Health Act 851, selling and labeled drugs in reused containers and without proper dosage instructions. Others are advertising treatments for diseases including gonorrhea, hypertension and diabetes, despite legal restrictions on such claims. The breaches are putting consumers at risk and raising serious concerns about the Food and Drugs Authority's enforcement of its own regulations. Nancy Cumson has more in Joy News feature Herbal Gamble.
Customer. I don't know for people. I don't know what they for girls.
The calls come one after another. Customers are seeking treatment. Ali says his mixtures can treat.
I'm Ali Boss. If you are looking for medicine for pounds, fever, gonorrhea, hernia, penis enlargement, or women's health issues, I have remedies for all of them. People keep calling me because they say my medicines work.
The FDA says approved products for conditions such as gonorrhea cannot be advertised without its approval. Gonorrhea is among the conditions the authority says require a doctor or pharmacist before treatment. That is why advertising cures for it is restricted.
I mix a little of each medicine together. We drink the mixture in the morning and evening. If there is an accompanying pomade, apply it only at night.
Nothing on the containers identifies the ingredients, dosage, or possible risk. The products come from different sources. Some are stored in coffee tins and others in reused containers. Most of the products we saw carried no label.
It's not coffee. The container is filled with different herbal medicines.
When asked to identify the exact ingredients, Ali declines to explain.
For gonorrhea, take a small amount of the herbal mixture and mix it with coconut water before drinking it. Alternatively, you can squeeze lime into the mixture and drink it. Within 1 to 2 hours, you will begin to urinate frequently and you will be fine.
For anyone taking a herbal remedy, what is missing from the label could be as dangerous as what is inside the bottle. The FDA says every product must disclose its active ingredients. Without that information, consumers risk allergic reactions, harmful interactions with other medicines, or unsafe doses. Nancy Cumsis reports for Joy News.
This is the Midday News you're still listening to, and we'll take a break. We'll come back with sports, and later, owning a home may no longer be out of reach for Ghanaians earning 3,000 cedis a month, with Republic Bank offering financing for homes valued up to 170,000 Ghana cedis at the Joy News Habitat Fair this weekend.
If somebody has 3,000 Ghana cedis, you can qualify as much as 170,000 Ghana cedis.
And later, with less than 24 hours to the 2026 National Championships of the National Science and Math Quiz, the battle is already getting personal in Cape Coast, where residents say they panic, cheer, and nearly lose their minds with easy twist of the quiz.
I feel like I'm even part of the people that they are answering questions, so I feel happy.
Yes, now it's nature. Now, if you like your support to school, now I say. AMCC and school, I'm very and I said beside.
Me myself, I have a brother over there, and maybe probably.